Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
It doesn't matter where you're at. We're all the same, just serving the Lord in the field. And He says the fields are ready. They need to be worked. And so we have a full-time job. Don't put the pressure on yourself to save the soul, to save the person. See, that's God's job, not yours. You don't have to be so convincing that they have been convinced into the kingdom. No one will ever enter the kingdom because they have been convinced. This is a matter of the heart. And only God can deal with the heart. So don't put that pressure on yourself to save the soul.
Besides our regular worldly working jobs, God has given to us another full-time job, preparing the fields to be worked for Him. Pastor Troy instructs us today how we can be good farmers working the fields. But we must not feel pressure on our hearts to save people's souls or try to save any individual person. God just wants us to be the worker of the fields because we can't do God's job, which is a matter of the heart. It's God's job to save the soul. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 4 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
You got to throw out the seeds. You got to plant the seeds. The seed is not your opinion, your thoughts, your experience necessarily. The seeds that bear fruit and break concrete and everything else are the Word of God. So the conversation Jesus has with this woman makes a big impact on her, obviously. And what He did was, what got all this going was, He put His finger on an area of her life where there was failure. Did you see that? Jesus put His finger on an area of her life where she was a failure, where she had failed or experienced pain. He opened something up. So many say things like, well, I think church ought to be about encouraging people. Just positive and encouraging, and yes, they got their problems, but don't focus on those. You know, just build and just encourage and just say the kind things. But Jesus had a way of always putting His finger on an area of weakness or failure or pain. And then it could go beyond that, because she didn't deny it. See, if she had denied it, let me tell you about your life. This isn't your husband. You've had five husbands. The one you're with now isn't your husband. She could have said, no, you don't know me. Who are you? That's not true. And then it ends. Not going any further. Total denial. No, that's not the problem. I'm fine. But she didn't do that. She said, you know stuff. You see it. You know what's going on. And she realized, I'm not dealing with some ordinary person. This person sees the truth. And so she had this encounter with Him. And she admits, there's confession. You're right. In fact, she goes into town saying that very thing. I met a man who told me everything I've ever done. He knows everything. She was excited to tell everyone about her encounter with Jesus. It was life-changing for her. Now, here's my point here that we need to get as Christians. This was the effect of one single conversation. A single conversation, just scattering some seed. That's all it takes. And it says she left her water pot. You know what that means? She came and she was busy. She had work. She was trying to get something done. Very important work, getting water. But she leaves it there because she finds something more valuable, more important than this. And she can't wait to share it. So, she left her water pot. She goes and shares because she's found something more important than even a basic like water. See, this is the result of seed being scattered. People's eyes are open to something that they didn't realize they needed, but that they do. And they're given hope. And I want you to think about conversations maybe you've had in the past. As a Christian, you've tried to share the gospel or share your testimony. You wanted to give someone hope or encourage them in their faith. And maybe after that conversation, you go, I don't think that did anything. I don't think they listened. I don't think they received. I think maybe it was a waste of time. Let me tell you something. It's never a waste of time to scatter seed. See, you don't know if it did nothing or what it may be doing. Because, you know, that grass that finds its way and cracks through the concrete, it's strong enough to do that. That seed is strong enough to do that. But when the concrete is hard like that, it takes time. It doesn't happen immediately. It takes some time. You know, I just saw the movie, I Can Only Imagine, about the life of Bart Millard, who wrote the song. One scene, it's not a big scene, it just really touched me in light of this text. And it was where, after having, you know, not seen his dad for a long time, not knowing what happened with his dad, he comes back and he finds that his dad had received Jesus. This was a hard man, and I won't go into the stories if you haven't seen the movie or whatever, but he couldn't believe, how did this happen? And his dad told him the story and said it was that time before he had left and was gone out of his life for all those years that he invited him to come to church and see him sing. And he wasn't famous or anything at this time. And he said he shouldn't be in church. You know, he didn't go to church. Well, he still tuned into the radio because it was aired, and he listened. And it wasn't hearing his son sing that saved him. It was staying there because the preacher started talking and listening. And that message is what God used to save him. Just a little seed. Hey, come hear me. But they refused the invitation. But you don't know what God may be doing. We're still to scatter the seed. Don't ever quit. Don't ever stop scattering the seed. This is our life's work. We are spiritual farmers. And none of us are the farm owners. That's Jesus. There is no white-collar business for us. We're all blue-collar farmers. It doesn't matter if you're standing behind a pulpit. It doesn't matter where you're at. We're all the same. Just serving the Lord in the field. And he says the fields are ready. They need to be worked. And so we have a full-time job. Don't put the pressure on yourself to save the soul, to save the person. See, that's God's job, not yours. You don't have to be so convincing that they have been convinced into the kingdom. No one will ever enter the kingdom because they have been convinced. This is a matter of the heart. And only God can deal with the heart. So don't put that pressure on yourself to save the soul. Just sow the seed. Just sow the seed. That's your job. That's my job. And speaking of jobs, look at verse 31. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? They're still thinking about physical food. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Something else we need to understand about this business of spiritual farming is the workers are busy. The workers are busy. They're working. There's no time to be slack. Can't be sleeping in. Like we said, if the farmer doesn't milk the cow, the cow may stop producing the milk. You have to keep it flowing. You have to keep it milked. So Jesus is the initial worker, right? But the woman naturally becomes a worker because she receives this news. She can't hold it. She wants to share this and spread it. She's spreading the seed, having conversations about Jesus. The disciples have been away trying to tend to physical needs. We need food. My stomach says I need food, so I need to take care of myself. So they go away and they miss out taking care of the physical needs. And as they come back, they approach Jesus and they're like, hey, here, eat, you know, have some food, get some food. And Jesus mentions, he sort of uses this as an opportunity to contrast their priority for this physical food with God's priority. And he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And then he talks about the Father's work. Now notice the way that Jesus says it. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to do his work. Now, when he says my food, he doesn't mean that as Christians we no longer need to eat, just serve the Lord. If you do that, you'll die. Because our body does need food. It needs food to sustain it. Sometimes I think we overfuel for what we need. But it's to sustain ourselves that we might expend the energies we get from it to serve the Lord, really, as a Christian, to do the work, to continue working. But our food, there's more to life than just trying to have the things of this life. And the things that fulfill us don't even come from this life. We think they do, but they don't. They're spiritual things. So Jesus is saying, when he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, he's saying there is nothing more satisfying, there is nothing more fulfilling, nothing more spiritually nourishing than to do the will of God. That is my spiritual food. It sustains me.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. Now, if you've ever been around when someone gives their life to Christ and been used in their life to help them, and their eyes open, they're like, whoa, I get it. If you've ever been used in that capacity, you know what I'm talking about. That inspires you. That motivates you. You want to do it again. You want to go save everybody. It's exciting. You want to be involved in the work of God. Now, if you've never, you don't even know what I'm talking about, you've never been used in that capacity, you are missing out. You're missing out. And I'll tell you why you're missing out. You're not scattering. You're not scattering seed. You may be scattering, like, I'm out of here. The Bible came up. I'm out of here. But you're not scattering the seed. Every day there's opportunity. Someone comes into the church. Someone, you never know. And you share the love of God. You share the gospel. You share the good news. And they may not stay. They may not want to listen. They may not look like they're paying attention. But God's word does not return void. And he scatters seeds where he wills. And all we're to do. Sometimes we'll reap, sometimes we'll sow, sometimes we'll water. But we always scatter the seed. What drove Jesus was his Father's business. It's what lit his fire. That's what kept him motivated. Set his face to the cross that he wanted to finish. In fact, at the end, when he was on the cross, that's what he said. It is finished. My work is finished. I paid the price. It's done. Paul the Apostle said basically the same thing. He goes, hey, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. In other words, my life is done. I have been spent. I've been spent and willing to be spent. For what? For the work of God. And now I'm at an end. I've run my race. I'm done. But we're to pick it up. We're alive today. We have work to do. You do realize that you have a mission, right? If you're a Christian today, you have a mission. God has a job for you, and it is to be a hardworking member. Let me say that part again. Hardworking member of God's family business, spiritual farming. You know, hard work is good for us. We need to participate in hard work. It's been said, hard work builds character, sets an example, gets results, brings opportunities, and blesses others. And I might add to that, it probably keeps us out of trouble too. Speaking of that, kids can work. I don't know why we think that kids can't work. Like you've heard, hey, don't make them take out the trash. Don't make them help with the laundry. Don't make them do these things because they're kids. They're kids. Just let them be kids. What does that mean? Let them go continue making messes so I can continue to pick up after them? They can and should learn to participate. They make messes. They should learn to clean. They break things. They should learn to fix. This is a lifestyle. You don't just grow up one day and you're 18 and you go, you know what? I'm going to be responsible. That doesn't happen. Look at our world right now. Has it happened? No. We're worse off today than we've ever been because we've bought into that. This culture, now you walk in restaurants and they're dirty. No one wants to clean the tables. No one wants to do anything. It's like it's beneath them. What were you hired for? I was taught, if you're leaning, you should be cleaning. When I went into a mechanical room, you walk in, they taught me, you should leave that mechanical room, and it's a mechanical room. There's noise and pieces everywhere, but when you go in to fix something, you put it all back and you leave it in better shape than you left it. If you threw out some sand beads, you clean up the sand beads. Whatever you did to mess it up, you make it at least as good in as good a shape as when you got there. Taught you to work hard and to leave a good impression for the company or for our squadron, I guess, which was in the military. And so we were taught to work hard. Kids can also work hard. You know, I don't have time to make the example, but let me just say, kids can work hard. You know why they don't? I'll tell you why. Because they schedule things like playtime. And work gets in the way of that. I was going to play. What were we going to do? I was going to play. We've got to get this work done. And what? Why can't you help? I was going to play. And you know what? We never grow out of that. It's like playing is our life's ambition. We work hard to get that white-collar job so I can be over the workers. What do you want to do? I want to play. I want to work hard so I can play. We want to entertain ourselves. We just want to play. Hey, guys, we've been duped. That's not what life's about, is playing. And now, they used to say the average age of video gamers, boys primarily, was like 13 and 14. Now it's 40. And I think they're still sitting in the same spot, playing the same games with better graphics, still living at home, not working. It's not good what we've done to ourselves. We're not working hard. And we should take that idea, working hard in the field, working hard in the workplace, and working hard in the kingdom of God, building up His kingdom. That's the place that we ought to work first and hardest. Giving God our best, the first fruits, right? Of our time, talent, energy, everything that we have, it belongs to the Lord. There was a story Adrian Rogers told a story about a man who had some sons, and he had them work in the cornfields. They would work in the cornfields because there was a lot to do, a lot of corn too. And so the parents, whose kids were their friends, would go out to the swimming hole and play video games and do all the stuff, go to the mall and all that, and they would always have fun, invite them, say, hey, we got to work, you know, we need to work. I mean, they had their down times too, but they had to focus. And so one of the parents approached the farmer about his sons and scolded him, saying, why do you make those boys work so hard? You know, and his bottom line was, you don't need all that corn. And the wise farmer father replied, sir, I'm not raising corn. I'm raising boys. In other words, I'm teaching them some valuable lessons about priorities and hard work. Lessons that kids today could probably stand to learn. You know, there's times where even though they're little, I could use maybe just a hand to hold something. And you know what? A child does a great job. And they feel a sense of accomplishment. They love it. Now, they don't like being torn away from the video game. They don't like being torn away from all the playtime. But playtime really should be a privilege, not a right. And the one thing that consumes my time, like work, is in the way. That's the way don't we look at it that way? How many of you love Monday? No. How about Friday? Yeah, love Friday. We got shirts. We got shirts about loving Friday. I saw one that says, Fry-yay. Fry-yay. At first, I don't, what is that? Oh, I see. Yay, it's Friday. Fry-yay. But not many have shirts about being excited about Monday. We've got it wrong. We become lazy. I hate to bring that to you this morning. I didn't come to church for this, Pastor. Well, I told you, Jesus puts his finger on the hard things. So, God gave work. You know, he even gave work in the garden. Don't say it was after the fall. It was before the fall. God gave work in the garden. Now that we're kind of tending that little piece of land there, one thing I know about a garden, and it could be the perfect garden with the perfect climate, but stuff grows, and it continues to grow, and it will take over if you don't tend to it. And so Adam had work to do before the fall. It gives man a sense of accomplishment and purpose and value in life. Jesus left us work, left it to his disciples when he ascended into heaven. That's why you didn't go to be with Jesus right away when you gave your life to him. He has work for you here. And just before Jesus ascended, he said to his disciples, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hey, do this. I know it sounds like a difficult task, but hey, I'm with you. He says, lo, I'm with you, even to the end of the age. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 sends us a little reminder. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, hint, hint, go out there and harvest the fields, man. Go work, go labor in the fields. Go spread the gospel, go cast the seed, work in my house. Is that great theological work Snow White once said, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. We need to work.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your